Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro Micro News for Monday, the 4th of November, 2024. I do apologise if you hear any background noise. I'm in my office in the garden, but in the house, we're having major renovation works, and they're using these drills, these saw-through wood. They literally sound like a drill to the brain. So I don't know if you can pick up on that, but it's now 4 months since we've had a dishwasher. Well, saying that, I am the dishwasher. I've been doing all the washing. In the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks actually, I've had no kitchen. So I'm washing dishes outside in the old sink with a defective hose pipe in cold water. It's not pleasant. The sink is at like ankle level. So I'm bending down. I've dropped so many plates and cups and all that. It's amazing how much you miss a dishwasher when you don't have one. First world problems, eh? But that's just about it. If you hear any noise, then that's what it is. Anyway, headline story. UK budget dims prospect of aggressive rate cuts, say economists. Remember Andrew Bailey saying he's going to be a bit more aggressive? He's a bit camp, isn't he, Andrew Bailey? I can't see him being aggressive, really, with rate cuts. Definitely not now. Anyway, the likelihood of back-to-back cuts slipped as the market digested last week's statement, with the probability of a cut in November currently standing at 90%, but 65.2% for another in December. This is sharply down since last week. I think it was 80% for a cut in December before the budget. And of course, interest rate decision is this week. Tomorrow, presidential election. It's a big week. And then Thursday, interest rate cuts, potentially on Thursday at 12 p.m. The budget, which expanded fiscal spending by 1.2% of GDP for the coming year, is expected to reduce slack in the economy that might otherwise help lower inflation, according to Pantheon Economics. The OBR, Office for Budget Responsibility, sounds like an exciting place to work, doesn't it? Are you being responsible? Please use the tea bag twice. You've had too many pencils this quarter. Anyway, forecasts the budget will add 0.5 percentage points to the Consumer Price Index in 2025. So what? Pantheon said it now expects the MPC to deliver one more rate cut this year, potentially at this week's meeting, followed by a 25 basis point reduction each quarter in 2025, which is one fewer than previously anticipated. So not a huge big deal, but the Bank of England, they are as effective as their job as Rachel Reeves is as economic at the economy and stimulating growth. There was nothing in that budget for growth, was there? The opposite. The very opposite of growth. I can't understand how you can get it so wrong. But they have to keep reducing rates. Yes, wages. So employers have been double hit. Apart from working regulation and all that stuff initially. Now you've got higher wages, and national insurance has gone up as well for employers. That's the cost of business going up. That's not growth policy. So yes, you may have a short-term hit for higher wages adding to inflation, but you know, along with these costs going up for employers, it's not going to add growth. Less people are likely to be employed. More people are likely to be shown the door, pretty much. and pay rises beyond this will be muted. The Bank of England, if they keep a restrictive policy, we will head into a recession. I don't see how they can't see this. We're flatlining. Even with all the stimulus, all this growth policy that Labour's banging on about, we are averaging a GDP rate less than the last 20 years average. And they've spent $70 billion to achieve this. The economy is headed down the toilet unless they reduce interest rates. Full stop. By the way, 23% off right now. Go to Amazon, my book. It's on pre-order. In fact, yesterday, a month today, it's quite exciting, isn't it? So December the 3rd. This is now obviously November the 4th, so less than a month, and the book becomes published, and you lose that discount, 23% off the paperback version of Amazon. So there we are. If you like this podcast, by the way, subscribe to it if you could. And if you want to give us a rating or review, I tried to find out the other day how to do this on Apple. Couldn't find any way of where you could leave a rating or review. Very hard. Why don't they just make it easy? Apple, you know, it's supposed to be user-friendly. Isn't it? A company that size. Anyway, let's look at the markets quickly. FTSE 100 up 0.4% to 8212. FTSE 250 up 0.3% to 20,536. The FTSE small cap, it's up 0.1% to 6851. And the AIM All Share, have a guess. Yes, it's down. It was up this morning a tad, but it's down 0.3% to 736. Did have a big rise on on Budget Day, of course, the relief rally that was, because people think it wasn't going to be scrapped, business relief. But so effectively now it's 50% relief. So on 40% you would get normally. So 20% if you hold AIM shares for 2 years when you die. You can pass them on. Let's be honest. Do your most of the shares on AIM, most stocks on AIM, you wouldn't want to pass those on to your relatives. You really wouldn't. You know, if they loved you, then it'll be enough grief as it is without you passing AIM shares on to them. That's the majority of the companies on AIM. Most of them are rubbish. And that's why you have to be specific and you have to be selective on the companies you pick, because a lot of it is trash. Absolute trash. Hope pipe potential stocks that would never ever generate anything like a profit. Some of them won't even generate any revenue. I've known stocks beyond AIM now for over 10 years and they've not generated one bit of income apart from issuing new stock. That's all they've done to great money. Okay, that's all they've generated. All they generate is new bloody shares. That's all they do. Let's have a look at commodities. What's the hot commodities today? Nothing really. Brent crude is down 0.7%, $73.45 a barrel. You got gold. Oh, no, gold is still a hot commodity. It's off the high. Like I said, the high is about $2,800 an ounce, but it's at $2,755. It's up today a quarter of 1 percentage point. And copper actually is up 1 percentage point to $9,734 a ton. Okay, let's have some other macro news. Calastone equity funds suffer the worst month of outflows on record. Calastone's latest fund flow index for October shows that equity funds suffered their worst month of outflows on record. Record breaker. Is that on anymore? I used to love that as a kid. Roy Castle, he's a nice fellow, isn't he? Investors sold down net £2.71 billion of their holdings, with every category of equity fund seeing outflows. The sharp outflows in October followed a weak September, which itself had seen the first outflows since October 2023. Calastone's real-time transactional data, which covers more than 85% of the funds market, showed that sell orders surged by 36% month to month to a record £17 billion, which is 1/6 more than the previous high. But listen to this. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, maybe a silver lining in the cloud. Buying activity also jumped 20% month on month. Notably, outflows ceased entirely on Budget Day, when higher capital gains tax rates came into immediate effect. Seller orders dropped by an astonishing 40% overnight compared to Wednesday 29th, while buying continued. So to me, that's why you saw that massive jump in the oil share. Did you see that? I mean, literally, it wasn't so much, well, it was heightened buying, but it was also the cessation of selling. And when you get that, when you get constant selling, net supply of stock, of course, the share price goes down. You reduce that massively, you know, the supply, and increase the demand, and it flips on a dime, like you saw, 4% rise on budget day. And I do think now we'll start to see inflows, as long as the Bank of England stay with their reduction policy. It's too restrictive. We're going into a recession. Do you not understand that, Bailey? Keep reducing rates. Now, there's not much macro news out today, so I thought we'd cover a bit of the presidential election, because it will move the market. Like, there's two market-moving events this week, and that's presidential election and interest rates. And this is a story I picked up here. The US election will certainly impact stock markets and government bonds. The close race between Trump and Harris has led to investors shift towards safe haven assets and hedge their risks. Michael Brown, senior research strategist at Pepperstone London, said, "The biggest fillip for risk, no matter who ends up winning, could be the certainty of the result." Yeah, this is exactly what I've been saying. I think if Trump loses, this time though, he's not in the White House. So that, last time he just wouldn't leave, would he? "I'm not leaving. I didn't lose. No. Carry on." Well, he hasn't got that accent. "I'm not leaving, man." I can't do the accent. But that's the problem. He's not in the White House now, so you can't force him to leave, or no prospect of not leaving. But there could be a lot of disruption, and he could deny it already, saying when he's victorious. So if he does lose, that's the problem. Now, global stock markets are expected to experience heightened volatility during the voting hours tomorrow, potentially similar to the reactions seen during the Brexit referendum and the US election in 2016. In the last year's election, markets sold off before election day, but recovered as Trump delivered his victory speech. I remember that. Basically, sold off one day. That's what tends to happen, though. The biggest mover of markets are central banks. It's not presidential elections, because even if Trump gets in, you know, the Senate and the House are divided. A Trump win could intensify sell-offs, as his policies would be likely to increase the budget deficit and add inflationary pressures, forcing the Fed to curb its rate cut. That's the thing. In this country, at least we're trying mentioning debt and trying to deal with it. In America at the moment, of course, pre-election, there's no mention of debt. It's all about spending plans and how good it's going to be under whatever candidate gets in. A Harris presidency would not necessarily produce the opposite effect to Trump in the bond market, as her policies are also likely to increase government debt and deficits, though perhaps to a lesser extent. The most balanced outcome for bonds might be a divided Congress, which could limit the excessive government spending and ease inflationary pressures. I think that's the way forward. Because that's the thing, you see, you get the reaction on the day, then you realise how many of these outlandish policies could Trump push through? You think, well, not many, really. So, and then you get a revert to norm for the markets. But, expect tomorrow to be a biggie. Okay. Time for a bit of macro. Let's look here. Bit of micro, I mean. AFC Energy, AFC Sticker, a leading provider of hydrogen power and an ammonia cracking solutions. Cracking. They've got some cracking ammonia solutions. Really have. It's pleased to announce trading update for the financial year ended 31st of October. So they've got a market cap around about 75 million. And they say revenue of approximately 4 million, recognised for full year 24, slightly above market expectations, driven primarily by sales of hydrogen fuel power generators to Speedy Hire services for lease to customers for Speedy Hire. As of the 31st of October, the company held unaudited cash and cash equivalents of 15.4 million and unaudited trade receivables less than 2.5. They said, as expected, listen to this. This did make me laugh a bit. As expected, it's not that funny, but in the dry world of RNSs, you get your humour where you can, you know? As expected, the unaudited cash burn for overheads equated approximately to 1.3 million per month. A programme of 2025 cost savings, including reduced R&D spending, is expected to reduce this to approximately £1.2 million per month. Wow. What a drastic cost-cutting policy. They can reduce their cash burn by 100 grand a month from 1.3 to 1.2. What are you doing, not ordering paper clips? So looking at the forecast here, they've got 4 million for this year. The revenue is expected to grow very nicely for 2025 to up to 11.8. But then you look at the profit before tax. And so on that 4 million, they're going to be losing, well, loss before tax, adjusted loss before tax, of 21.8. Now, they increase their revenues to 11.8, and they're going to be losing 21.9. So the loss has gone up. And let's be honest, even with that cash they have, well, the 15.4 plus 2.5, they're not going to cover that off. So even though it's a very hypey space, this Hydrogen space, but I mean, they're going to need to do a cash call again, aren't they? Somehow. So you may see a rally sooner or later, but be careful. They maybe have to do a cash call. Chroma Security Services, CSSG is ticker there. Aimless Innovation and Service-Focused Security Solutions Provider is pleased to announce its final results for the 12 months to 2024. In fact, let's have a quick look at the share price of AFC. Where's it gone? Hang on. I can't see it anyway. Let me add it. AFC Energy. It's in there somewhere. Oh, there we are. Sorry. It's up 22% today. It is an all-time low, pretty much. Close to, by the looks of it. But it's up 22% to 9.93. It's AFC. Now, Chroma, as I say, market cap 11 million. So the results were 8.73 million in revenue. I'm looking for growth on every one of these metrics. So I'm looking for growth on revenue, profit or loss before tax, and cash. So revenue, 8.73 versus 8.02. So nice little bit of growth there. Well, less than 10%, isn't it? Profit before tax, 797,000 versus 403. So that's excellent growth there. It's what's 80%, is it? And cash of 2.14 versus 2.14, same amount of cash. And looking at the forecast here, the expected revenue to go up from 8.7 to 9.1, and adjusted profit for tax from 800,000 to 900,000. So that's improving again there. The PE, they'd be on a PE 2025 of around about 13.5, 14. It's not bad. I mean, isn't it? I just wonder if they can scale with that kind of, you know, profit. But nevertheless, they're making money. They're not making a loss, so they are one of the few on AIM to make money. I say the few. I'm not quite sure the stats. There are plenty of companies making a profit on AIM. I just don't know what percentage they make up. It does seem, though, that the trash gets all the headlines, you know, and you do see people pumping trash all day long on Twitter. And you think, yeah, it's gone up. Well done. And fair play, I suppose, it doesn't really matter. I mean, how you make money, as long as you make money in some way. But a lot of these pop and drop stocks, what I'm worried about is that, you know, these people will pump them at the highs. And you know they're coming down because they need cash. And so, you know, you've got to be quite nimble in that respect. That's not what I want to do. First of all, before they pop, you can't get a sizable amount to make it meaningful to put the portfolio. Obviously, it depends on the size of your portfolio. If you've got a small portfolio, then it will do. But you can see the volume is not big enough. Liquidity isn't there to take a sizable chunk of these tiny companies. Anyway, next, DSW Capital. I was looking at this recently, thinking, it's an interesting company. It's small profits, but I think it's scalable. And they're towards an all-time low, and it's profitable. Anyway, a profitable mid-market challenger, professional services license network, and owner of Dow Schofield Watts brand has acquired DR Solicitors Limited for a total consideration of 6.1 million. Now they say a disruptor in the solicitor accountancy sort of space, where they're acquiring customers or licensee off the big four, and these big four then people come from the big four to them, and they effectively set up their own business, but use DSW's infrastructure and network, and so they're pretty much self-employed, but they have to pay a fee to DSW to use their. It's infrastructure kind of thing. Anyway, in the financial year to the end of the 31st of March, DR Solicitors achieved organic revenue growth of 11% to generate 3.1 million and profit before tax of 1.2, and they had net assets of 1.6 million. So 6.1 million, what is that, five times? That's not too bad, I suppose. They've got a market cap, DSW Capital, of 14 million. I'm looking at the forecasts here. So revenue is going to be, they're saying, forecasting for 2025 of 3 million versus 2.4, and adjusted profit for tax of 8 million forecast, up from half a million last year. Next, feedback. The clinical infrastructure specialist today announces its intention to, well, they have final results out as well today, but talk about a kick in the teeth. They announced its intention to raise approximately 5.2 million through a placing at an issue price of 20 pence. A 55% discount. That really is taking the mick, isn't it? Really is. Raise less if you need to, but 55%. There are people holding that, literally walking up today and felt like they've been hit in the gut by Mike Tyson. Anyway, they also announced the results. Market cap about 7 million. Revenue of 1.18 versus 1.02, so that's an improvement. Loss before tax of 3.59 versus 3.37, so that's a deterioration. Cash of 3.87 million versus 7.31. So they are loss-making, burning cash. Revenues are negligible, really. I don't see the point of this company. It's been around for a long time now. It's not done anything, really, in regards to, you know, generating any profit. Nowhere near either. I mean, look at the forecast, right? Listen, the forecast, well, they've 1 million this year. The revenue is going to double for next year, but the profit for tax goes up to 4.1 million from 4 million. And again, in 2026, 3 million top line, but the loss is still 4 million. What's the point? You've got no margin there whatsoever. It's not a viable business. If your revenue is growing and so is your losses, it's pointless. Absolutely pointless. Okay, next. PCI Pal, the global cloud provider of secure payment solutions for business communications, is pleased to announce that it's been successful in winning a re-tender for its business with the Department of Work and Pensions in the UK. The contract is worth more than £5 million over initial three-year term. The contract includes the option for DWP to renew for up to a further 3 years at the end of the period on the same terms. So they're going to mark up to 47 million. And these are the forecasts here. So 2025, expect to see revenue of 22.4 million up from 18. So that's decent growth there. Profit for tax going from a loss of 600,000 to a profit of 800,000. But then in 2026, that goes down to 600,000. Not a bad company, but it's not cheap. They've got a PE of around about 52. So they had cash at the year end recently, which is 30th of June, of 4.3. So they've got cash. They're scraping into a profit marginally, but they're quite highly, you know, they're not cheap. That way. Next, Synectics, SNX, a leader in, this is a decent company, a leader, it's in the microcap league, by the way, a leader in advanced security and surveillance systems, announces that it has been awarded further contracts as part of a framework agreement with National Grid. The contracts, which are valued in aggregate at approximately 2.2 million, are for the delivery of security improvement works for 12 sites across the UK. They've got a market cap of 45. For example, compare the value of this company to the previous company. This is a, you know, PCI Pal is market cap 47. Synnex is market cap 45. Now, their revenue is more than double that of PCI Pal. Of course, different sector. And they've got decent margins. So, forecast revenue for this year is 55.4 million. And adjusted profit for tax is 3.9. In 2025, 60 million top line, 5 million profit for tax. And they've got a decent amount of cash too. So, yeah, so they're on a P of about 13 at the moment, of looking forward. Next, Vinet Group, VNET, the international provider of actionable data and business insights through an integrated ecosystem of connected hardware devices, software platforms, and smarter insights portals. Do you know what? Sometimes I think if you can't put your business description in a line, it gets too complicated. Anyway, Today announces a trading update for the 6 months ended the 30th of September. So H1 revenue of 7.69 versus 7.19, so a little bit of growth there. Recurring revenues increased. It's gone down. Recurring revenue of 6.45 million, that's 84% versus 87%. So the recurring revenue as a total of the revenue, as a percentage of the total, has gone down by 3 percentage points. Net debt is reduced to 1 million from 2.09. So they've brought that down. Fair play. Synectics is up 8.7%. PCI Pal is up by 3.3%. CSSG is up by 17%. DSW is up by 23%. Feedback is down by 46%, as I mentioned. And Vinet is down by 6.49. But let's have a look at their forecast results. So they're expected to do revenue of 17.15 million versus 15.17 for last year. Adjusted profit for tax is expected to be 2.44 million versus 1.2. So it's a nice doubling there. And that puts them on a PE now, going from 26 to 16. So it's going in the right direction, Vinet, but it is a little bit complex explaining what the business does. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. By the way, please order my book. Please, I beg of you. No, are you kidding? But it would be nice if you did. 23% off. I think it may be up until the publisher day. I don't know. The marketing lady from Harriman House said they can scrap their discount when they want Amazon. So if you could, just go to sharepickers.com and then click on the book at the top of that page there, and you'll see the different ways of buying it, including Amazon, which, like I say, has 23% off the paperback version. Okay, that's it. Speak it tomorrow. Big day tomorrow, election day, presidential election. I fear Trump becoming president. I really do. Because he'll just roll back on everything. And I don't think it's just lots of more debt. He doesn't really care about debt. Has he filed for administration like 6 times? Somehow you're rich. But he doesn't care about debt whatsoever, which is quite worrying when you consider how much debt America has at the moment. If you like this podcast, please subscribe. And then, if you could, add a review and rating. If you can't, don't worry. It is a hard work doing that anyway. Cheers. Speak tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.